when Purim falls out on Sunday, the Meiri in Megillah quotes two minhagim, whether we fast, whether we observe Tainus Esther on Thursday or on Friday. So our practice is we observe Tainus Esther on Thursday. Soloveitchik said that he remembered that his grandfather Abchaim wouldn't take an aliyah to Mincha when Tainus Esther is this kind of a case, because maybe it's a bracha l'atol, maybe really the Torah should be tomorrow. And there's no Kriyas HaTorah to Mincha.
But meaning if they're Asar
HaMisadim,
can they late anyway?
Usually we're not Mekabal Tainus. If you're Mekabal Tainus, then there's a Chiyav Tainus. But if you just have a Tainus Mitam Minig, so yeah, it has to be that that's the Minig. So by us, that is the Minig. But because the Miri quotes a practice otherwise, the more correct is that it's a Minig Tois. The more correct is to have the Tainus on Friday. So that's why he said Rabbi Chaim wouldn't want to get an aliyah by Mincha. On Tisha B'Av we observe Leila Ki Yomo. We fast 24 hours and we observe all the Chamisha Inuyim. On the other Tanesim we don't. So the Vilna Gaon in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Tainus quotes from the Ramban in the Torah Sa'odom. Torah Sa'odom talks about, the Ramban was a doctor. So the Torah Sa'odom talks about when babies are born, what do you have to do, and what are you allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for? When people get sick later in life, what are you allowed to do on Shabbos, what do you do on the weekdays, and so on. And then he talks about when someone's holding by the end, when is the doctor allowed to treat him, the doctor may kill a patient, what are the dinim? And then he talks about the dinim of Avelus, Aninus. Then once he's talking about Avelus, then he talks about Hilchos Tisha B'Av also, Avelus of Tisha B'Av. Then he talks about Avelus of the other Tanaisim as well. So the Vilna Gaon quotes from the Ramban and the Torah Sa'odom that the Novi Zechariah was asked when the second Beis Hamikdash was built, should we continue to fast on Tisha B'Av? Should we still cry? And the month of Av, the fifth month is Av, should we still cry and observe Tisha B'Av? For 70 years they had observed as a minig to fast on Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Tevis, on Gedalia, and so on. So when the second Beis Hamikdash was built, so they weren't sure because it's missing so many things. It wasn't really, it didn't compare to the first Beis Hamikdash. So they asked the Shaila, should we still fast? So the Navi gave a very unclear answer that sometimes he mechuyif to fast until then it was only a minig. And when the Navi declared benevuah, tzom arviv, tzom hachamisha, tzom hashviv, tzom hasiri, you have to fast. So he elevated it to the level of a din derabbanan, which is dibur kabbalah. Dibur kabbalah means a din derabbanan that's recorded in Nevi'im uksuvim that has the haskama of the bezon shalmaila to it. So it became mochomer. So the Navi said, sometimes you mechuyif to fast, sometimes you mechuyif to celebrate a yontif when you have a real Beis Hamikdash. Second Beis Hamikdash is unclear historically whether they did fast or they didn't fast. The Achreidim have a machlokes whether you say mizma l'soida and Tisha B'Av. The question depends: did they fast in the Bayis Sheni? Would they have brought a korban toida on Tisha B'Av in the Bayis Sheni? Rav Zevin in his Sefer Ma'adim B'Halacha quotes from Josephus that it would appear from Josephus that they did fast. Josephus was a general in the army, Bizman Bayis Sheni, in the Jewish army, Bizman Bayis Sheni. So it's a little unclear exactly what the answer of the Navi was, but he gave three-part answer. He says sometimes Yimuchuyiv to fast, some Arviv, some Ashvi, and it's considered Medivri Kabbalah, and sometimes you have to celebrate a Yontif when you have a real Beis Hamikdash. Sometimes it's optional. Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. So when you're mechuyif to fast, that's what the Ramban writes in Torah Sodom. When you're mechuyif to fast, it has to be Leila Ki Yomo, 24 hours, and all the Chamisha Inuim. So Tisha B'Av, we're mechuyif to fast. The Gemara says Medir Rabbanim. That's not Medir Kabbalah. That the Rashbo already writes in Rosh Hashanah that fasting on Tisha B'Av is not Medir Kabbalah. It's only Medir Rabbanim. Because in the words of the Navi, he doesn't distinguish between Tisha B'Av and the other Tanaisim. The Gemara distinguishes. So that's only Midirabbanan. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Ramban, that Achoel Hashem Sakana is permitted to eat on Tisha B'Av. The Taz has a Taina. Why do we allow Achoel Hashem Sakana? Since the Gemara says Tisha B'Av doesn't depend on, it's not optional, you mechuyif to fast, so it should be Midibri Kabbalah. If it's Midibri Kabbalah, so you should only permit Achoel Hashem Sakana to eat, because Dibri Kabbalah, Kedibri Torah, Danya. So the Avnei Nezer answers, Avnei Nezer writes that obviously the Taz didn't have the Rashbo available. It wasn't printed during his lifetime. It's printed afterwards. And the Rashbo on Rosh Hashanah, and that's Sugyan Daf Yud Ches, writes Beferish. The fasting on Tisha B'Av Bizmanazeh is really the same as the other Taneisim. It really should also be optional. But it's mid the Rabbanon that Mechuyif to fast. Any time is the Rabbanon, Acholu Sheim B'Sakon is permitted to eat. It's not mid the Kabbalah today. And the other Taneisim, Asar B'Tevah, Shavasa B'Tamuz, that's Rosa Misanim, Rosa Eim Misanim, that's optional. If you live when there's no Beis HaMikdash, but there's no outright persecution of the Jews in your country, then it's optional to fast. And the Rishonim quotes from the Halachas Gedolos, Kvashavyu Alay Choyba, the Bizman Hazeh, we assume that it's a minik. It's a minik to fast. That's the question exactly, what does that mean, it's a minik to fast? So the Mechaber writes, it's a minik to be Mekabal Tainis, the Shabbos before. Like the Shabbos before Bahab. So in Shul they say, Mishaber, for all those who are going to fast, and everybody says Amen. So those who say Amen have in mind that they're Mekabal Tainis. So they were Mekabal Tainis. So that's what the Mechaber writes, that Asar B'Tevah, Shavasa B'Tamas, and some Gedalia, and the meaning is that the Shabbos before, in Shul we're Mekabal Tainis, and everybody is expected to fast. So they all say Amen, they're Mekabal Tainis. The Ramah says, no, you don't have to be Machr is the Shabbos before. It's not that the minig is that we're Mekabal Tainis. The minig is that we're Mechuyif to fast. That's why there's a Machlokes Lishitosim, the Mechaber and the Ramah, on Shivasa B'Tamis and some Gedalia, whether Te'ima is Mutter or not. The Gemara says in Brochus, let's say a person is cooking soup on Shivasa B'Tamis and some Gedalia. He doesn't remember whether he put in the flavoring or not, so he wants to taste it and spit it out. He wants to taste it just to see whether he's cooking the soup from Matzoi Tonis. Wants to taste it, whether it has the right flavoring or not. So the Gemara says, Hashori b'taynis, if a person was mekabel, a taynis yochid, he's permitted to be toyim. So Taisa says, that's only a taynis yochid, because the Gemara says, the reason why it's mutter is because, achil ushtia kabel alei, his kabbalah's taynis was only not to eat, not to drink, and tim alo kabel alei. That's not included in the kabbalah. But Taisa says, if it's taynis aksufim, Taisa goes to Rabbeinu Hanano, if it's Tainis Aksum, if it's Tainis that's written in Tanakh, so you can't say that we're analyzing what did he have in mind. When you accept the Neder Tainis, it depends what's included in your Loshen, what's not included. So here, the Mechaber says, on the other time, on Shavasa B'Tamas and some Gedalia, Bismanazah also, you need the Minigas that were Mekabal Tainis in advance. So that's why the Mechaber says that Te'ima is Mutter. On the other Taneisim, because we assume only Achila Shtia is included and Tima is not included. Vashenikain, the Ramah says, no, our meaning is that we don't Mekabal Tainis the Shabbos before. The meaning is that Yimchuif to fast. The meaning is Mechaivas to fast. So it doesn't depend on our Neder Kabbalah's Tainis. So therefore, you can't say Achila Shtia, can't analyze what was included in the Neder, what was not included. Yimchuif to fast, the Tima is also awesome. So the Vilna Gaon quotes from the Ramban that if you would live in a generation, Rav Soloveitchik said that those Jews who were suffering at the hands of the Nazis, said they were mechuyev medina to fast Asar B'Tevah, some gedal, they would have to observe the whole Tanis Leila Kiyoma 24 hours and Chamisha Inuim, the whole works. Because when there's no Beis HaMikdosh and you're suffering at the hands of the Goyim, there's outright persecution, then it's a chiyev medibri kabbalah to fast, and you have to fast the whole works. So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Shaloh as a Midas Chassidus, even though we live in a free country, there's no anti-Semitism, there's no outright persecution against the Jews. So strictly speaking, the other Taneisim of Shavasa B'Tamas and some Gedalia should be optional. Ratzim Misanim, Ratzim Misanim. It's only Kvashav Yu Alayu Chayva. So the Ramban writes, the meaning is, we only fast by Yom, not by Laila. We only observe Achil Ushtia. We don't observe Chamisha Inuim. So the Shaloh says, but since Meikar Adin, if they would have been B'divri Kabbalah, you would have to fast, observe all the Chamisha Inuim, and fast for 24 hours. So he says, Amidus Chassidus is to observe all the Chamisha Inuim and to observe Leila Kiyom. He says, unless the wife went to Mikveh that night, and it's a Chiyavoyna, so that's not right. The Prav Amidus Chassidus against the real chiyuv, or the shaloh says, let's say the fellow is going to walk around, he normally wears leather shoes, He's going to walk around in sneakers. Everybody, it's going to be obvious that he's observing Amidas Chasidus. He never wears sneakers in the middle of the day, only on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av and in Shiva. So he's going to wear sneakers on Asarah B'Tavis and Shavasa B'Tamuz. So this looks like Yuhara. He's advertising that he's observing this Midas Chasidus. So that's not right. But otherwise, the Magen Avraham quotes that from the Shavuot, that one should observe, because one should observe all the Chamish Einuyim and Leila Kiyoma as well. So Leitchik thought that didn't apply to Tainus Esther. Tainus Esther is not there in that Nevuah. Tainus Esther, the Rishonim write, is a Tainus Shel Simcha as opposed to a Tainus Shel Avelus. The other Tainusim are Zecha L'Churban. So those are Tainusim of Avelus. But Tainus Esther, everything worked out. It's Zecha to the fast that our ancestors, our forefathers fasted, and the prayers were answered. So we fast now also, zecher to that. So that's considered a taina shel simcha, because the Rishonim are bothered with Akasha. How are you permitted to fast on Tainus Esther? It's the Cherev Purim, and all the Yom Tovim and Megillas Tainus the day before. You're not supposed to fast lifneim. You're not supposed to fast either. Not only on Purim itself, day before also not supposed to fast. So the Baal HaMor talks about this Akasha. Other Rishonim work on that Akasha. So in the Sefer HaEshkol, he gives this teretz, that Tainus Esther is a Tainus Shel Simcha, it's not a Tainus Shel Avelos. So therefore, there's no prohibition if you'll fast on Erev Purim. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik thought, based on that it's a Tainus Shel Simcha. So he thought that this whole Chumer from the Shalom shouldn't apply here. That one should observe the Tonis for 24 hours, and one should observe all the Chamish Einuyim, one should avoid all the Chamish Einuyim. He thought all that didn't apply to Tainus Esther. Yeah, it's a question how to interpret the pasuk in the Megillah Esther. Dibyatzamis v'zakosim. What is it referring to? Yeah, but still, Rav Soloveitchik thought that still there are two gifts in the Rambam, just to speak about two ways to read the Rambam, whether Tainus Esther is included in Dibyat Kabbalah also or not. But it's still different from the others. It's still different. The others are Tainus Shel Avelus, and this is a Tainus Shel Simcha. Yeah. The Gemara says in the first parak in Brochus, the Gemara talks about different practices that we do. So what's the Iker reward for this? What's the Iker reward for that? The Gemara says, Agra de Tainesa, the reward. Agar is reward. The reward for fasting a Tainus is Tzidkasa, that you should give Tzedakah. So that's why normally Tainus Esther is Erev Purim. And they usually have plates and shul for the Machzah Shekel or for Tzedakah La'aniyim. So the Mishnah Berurah points out that even today, we're fasting today, and Purim is on Tzoy Shabbos, so the Tzedakah should be given today. That's why they made an announcement after Shachris. The Iker reward for a Tainus is not so much for the fasting, but rather for the Tzedakah that a person gives. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from Nachrenim that one should give at least as much money as he saved by not eating. How much would you have spent on breakfast and lunch? So at least he should give that much to tzedakah, because he saved that amount of money by fasting. We have a minig this morning when they lay in Baichal, so we have a minig that we recite along with the Balkorah, before the Balkorah, and the other pasuk afterwards. So the Rishonim quote from the Tshuvas HaGoyim that this is part of a larger minig. There are 10 psukim in the course of the whole year that we say along with the Baal Koireh. On Purim we say, and Mardchai Yehudi, the last pasuk in the Megillah Esther. And then on Tisha B'Av when we read Eicha, Hashvein Hashem Elocha v'noshuvacha d'shemelech kikedem, that's one big minig to recite psukim of Nechama and Yeshua and Slicha v'Kapora, along with the Baal Koireh. It's not a separate minig on Purim. It's part of a larger minig. The Gemara in the first parak in Maseches Megillah quotes part of the story of Purim that Esther made two requests. One was Kisvuni Ledoiris, that they should write down Megillah Esther and incorporate it into the Tanakh. The other request was Kivuni Lidoris, to be Kaveh Ayantev Lidoris. So Kisfuni Lidoris, whether Esther is part, Esther is Torah Shebichzav, that we know, because the Mishnah says, if you lain Balpeh, you're not Yotze. But the Gemara has a machlokes Tatanoim. Till the middle of the period of the Amoraim, there was a machlokes about the Megillah Esther as part of the Kisvi HaKodesh or not. When they found the Dead Sea Scrolls, one set of Dead Sea Scrolls, so they found 23 Svarim of Tanakh, and it was missing Megillah Esther. So they're not sure whether it was out on loan, or in that community, they held that Megillah Esther is not part of the Tanakh. The final maskanas HaGemara is that Esther is part of the Tanakh. The Loshan that the Gemara uses is it part of the Tanakh, and therefore it's Mentameis HaYadayim, because the Tanoi made Exeret the Rabbanim, that's recorded in Mishnah HaYadayim. If you touch Homer, Kisvei Homeris, Sifrei Homeris, if you touch a book of Homer, it's not Mentameis HaYadayim. If you touch the Tanakh, it's Mentameis HaYadayim. So the Tzduken make fun of the Tanoi. Should be the reverse. Homer, the Pasala Narishkeit that the Greeks and the Romans have, that should be Mentameis HaYadayim. Kisvei HaKodesh, why should that be Mentameis HaYadayim? So the Mishnah explains, no. A Mentameis HaYadayim is to serve as a deterrent that people shouldn't touch the Kisvei HaKodesh. Out of respect for Tanakh, also lecha Sefer Torah Orim. You're not allowed to touch a Sefer Torah with your bare hands. Sometimes respect requires that you should keep your distance a little bit, not to be so buddy-buddy. Slap the other guy on the back. So over here, to touch the Kisvei HaKodesh with your own bare hands, that's a little too friendly. So the Acheretz dictates, also lecha Sefer Torah Orim. So to serve as a deterrent, they made this din the Rabbanon, that whoever touches Kisvei HaKodesh, it's Mentameis HaYadayim. So that was a machlekes in the Gemara, in a long machlekes Tanoim Amoraim, till the middle of the period of the Amoraim, whether Esther is Mentameis HaYadayim or not. We pass on that it is Mentameis HaYadayim. So Mentameis HaYadayim should be also to touch it with your bare hands. So put Esther from all of the other Kisvei HaKodesh, we don't have an Eitz Chaim on Esther. Just yesterday someone told me that by the Sfardim they do have an Eitz Chaim. I didn't know that. Anybody know? They have an Eitz Chaim on the Gilas Esther. A Sfardish rabbi told me yesterday that by them they have an Eitz Chaim. Okay, fine. The reason why we don't have an Eitz Chaim is because the Gemara points out that Megillah Esther is Nikris Sefer v'Nikris Igeris. This machlok is Satanoim, whether Esther is part of Tanakh or not, is it supposed to be part of Kisvei HaKodesh? So one shita was that Bedavka is not supposed to be part of Torah Shebichzav. It shouldn't be part of Kisvei HaKodesh. And even though we pass that it is, so the Gemara says, but it has 1 foot in and 1 foot out. It's Nikris, Sefer v'Nikris Igeris. Igeris means that something, Sefer means a Sefer of Tanakh that's going to be everlasting. And Igeris means a letter that you get in the mail that you read from your friends. So Megillah says it's different from the other Kisvei HaKodesh. For Tefira, the Gemara says, it's a difference in Tefira because Nikris Igeris, and our minig from the days of the Gonim is that the Balkori folds up the Megillah Esther before he starts to lay. Nikris Igeris. It shouldn't look like a Sefer from Tanakh. Normally, a Sefer from Tanakh. You have an Eitz Chaim here, an Eitz Chaim there, or at least you have part of the cloth is here, part of the cloth. Then you read like a book, and here you fold the whole thing up. That it should look like an Igeris, to demonstrate that it's not 100% Torah Shebichzav. We have a Kula that if you made a mistake in Kriyas HaMegillah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes from Yerushalmi, if you made a mistake and you mispronounced the words a little bit, but it's not Mishanes or Inyan, it doesn't really make such a difference. It has the same meaning anyway. So Yoytze B'Riyevet. So that's the question, whether that carries over to Kriyas HaTorah or not. Mechaber writes in Ilchus Kriyas HaTorah that it applies even to Kriyas HaTorah. And the Rav Chaim Soloveitchik thought that it doesn't, that it's only a Kula in Megillah Esther because Nikris Sefer. Nikris Igeris, because Nikris Igeris. But in Kriyas HaTorah, the Rambam says, you machzirim, you have to correct the person, afilu al diktukal, even on a slight error. Rav Chaim thought, even on a slight error of the trup, you have to be machzir the Balkori. He has to lean over again. As for that, you're not Yetzir. And also, there's a Kula that if the Megillah Esther, here and there you have letters that are rubbed out, or words that are rubbed out, so as long as Roiv of the Megillah Esther is Biksav, so then you can lean for that Megillah Esther. It's a double Chiddush. It's a Chiddush that Ruba Kukuloi, when you get to the Hechsher of the Megillah, you don't have every letter there. It's only Roiv is written. And then Ruba Kukuloi, when you get to the Kriya, you're not allowed to lean Kriya Balpeh, you have to lean Kriya Mitoch HaKsav. So the place that's missing the word, the Gemara says, the Balkori lanes in Balpeh. So it's a double Kula. Ruba Kukula Menegeta, the Heksha Hamigila, Ruba Kukula Menegeta, the Kriya. The Gemara has a Machloikas Hatanoim. How much of the Megillah do you have to read? So we follow that opinion. You have to read from the beginning to the end, the entire Megillah. But other Tanoim say, no, you just have to start from Balaluhu, Nodadosh Nasa Melech. Another Tana says you have to start from a later point, earlier point. You don't have to read the whole Megillah. But nonetheless, the Gemara says the whole Megillah has to be Ksuva, Balache, Ksuva, Kula, Befana. Let's say this week is Parshas Tetzaveh. So you can't play from a clock that only has Parshas Tetzaveh. That's called Kriya Baal Peh. If you don't have, even if you have a Chumash, that's called Kriya Baal Peh. If you don't have a klaf that has a Sefer Sholem, that's not called Kriya Mitech HaKsaf. But once you have that Sefer Shmos, Sefer Sholem of Shmos, then you only have to read Parshas Tetzaveh. So that's what the Gemara says. You have to have a Sefer Sholem of Megillah Esther. And then how much of it do you have to learn? So that there are different opinions in the Tanaim. We happen to pass, you have to learn the whole Megillah Esther from the beginning to the end. But other Tanaim say no. So that's what the Rashba is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Rashba is Takasha. Why do you need Ksuva Kula? Why do you need the whole Megillah should be written? If Roiv is good enough, the Gemara says if you're missing letters or words here and there, as long as Roiv is written is Kosher Megillah, you can say the rest Baal Peh. So if it's missing up until Balai Lahu Nardosh Nasan Melech, or wherever you have to start from, so that's only a miyut. The Megillah is so long, a longer Megillah. So even if it's missing the first two chapters, so you have the eight chapters are Biksav. So why shouldn't you say Ruba Kukula? The Gemara says Ruba Kukula Menegeta Megillah. Why shouldn't you say Ruba Kukula? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the two answers of the Rashba and the other Rishonim. Some say true Ruba Kukula, but if you're missing an Inyan Sholem, a whole unit, so then the Megillah is possible. And others say, either b'tchilos or b'sofa, that's more of a kpeda. If you're missing b'tchilos or b'sofa, even not an inyan shalim, that's worse than any other part that's missing. So that's, the Mishnah Berurah has a machlokes achronim about the following situation. It always happens at Purim. The Balkari says the brachas, and then someone comes in half a minute late. So he missed all the brachas of the Balkari. He wants to catch up. He doesn't have his own klav. So he says the three brachas, and the Balkari already read the first pasuk too. So he wants to read the first pasuk too from his printed chumash. Then from the third pasuk on, he'll pay attention to the Baal Kari who will lay. So that should be good. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Bi'ar Halacha Machlokes Achronim, this clause, this condition, that if Rav of the Megillah is written, it's okay. You say Ruba Kukula on the Hechsher of Megillah. You say Ruba Kukula on the Kriya. Provided that it's not missing Tchilasa v'Seifa, is that only the din in the Heksher HaMegillah if it's missing Tchilasa? What if the Megillah the Baal Kari is learning from is not missing anything? Has everything. But I missed the first two Psukim from the Baal Kari. So I read it, I said it from a printed Chumash. So I'm missing Tchilasa from a Kosher Megillah. But the Megillah that the Baal Kari is learning from is a Kosher Megillah. It has everything, it has Tchilasa. The Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions about that. I thought the Pashtus says that it is good. I thought the Pashtus, we once had a machlokes in the yeshiva, so neither of us knew what the din was. Rabban Lichtenstein thought it's no good, and I thought that it is good. I still think it's good. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes achrayim. I thought the Pashtus says that it is good. So that's a shaila. How does that compare, let's say, to a Sefer Torah? In a Sefer Torah, the Gemara says, Sefer Torah, shechos yiriyah achas. If you're missing a yiriyah from one stitch to the other, that's a few columns. So the Gemara says, Enkorn, but you can't lane. It means this Shabbos we have to lane Parshas Tetzaveh. It's missing a Vayakal Pikudei. It's missing a Yiriyah in Vayakal Pikudei. So the Gemara says, you can't lane. And Tosfos holds La Alocha, that's all. Only Chosa Yiriyah Achas. If it's Chosa less than a Yiriyah, missing a word here and there, that's okay. We don't follow that Tosfos. The Ritva has a Tshuva where he quotes this from the Balei Tosfos. We don't follow that Tosfos, we follow the Rambam. The Rambam is surprising. The Rambam got it from the Zohar. The Zohar says like that. Sefer Torah shechos or esachas. You can't lane from it. So the Shaila is, how come by Sefer Torah shechos or esachas is no good? And by Megillah Esther, ad rubai is good. Why the contrast? The Rav Soloveitchik said he's not sure whether this is a special chumr in Sefer Torah, but all other the main Ksuvim have the din of Ruba Kukula the same as Megillah Esther. Perhaps it's based on the pasuk in Chumash that says at the end of Dvarim, "Vayikachalas Moshe Lichtavus Kol Divrei Torah Zois Ad Tumam." Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing the entire Sefer Torah, every single letter of the Sefer Torah Ad Tumam, and then he gave it to the Levim and Asata Moshe B'tzad Aharon Bris Hashem Vayisham B'chol Yeitz. So maybe that's the din Ad Tumam. Everything has to be written. Well, maybe not. Maybe that's the din by one of the Maksuvim, that if Yechaser Isachas is no good. Maybe this kula, the ruba kula by the Megillah, if ruba is kasuv and miyuto is nimchak, maybe it's a kula by Megillah because nikris igeres, maybe because nikris seifam and nikris igeres. He wasn't sure. This is very negel halacha. Let's say in yeshiva they learn all haftaras from a klaf, so they have every so often they have a klaf that has letters rubbed out, so it's chaser isachas. So the question is, does the balkori have to break his head to memorize the trup with the Nikudis, with the Nikud? If it's Chasar Isachas, you don't gain anything by laying it from the Klav. Maybe it's the same as a Sefer Torah. Say, may as well, what do you have to break it? May as well say the Haftarah from our Pintet Chumash. So that was Rav Soloveitchik Sofik. The Ritva has a Tshuva where he talks about this, but he says both. So it's unclear what his Maskana is. He says, maybe one can say that it's a Kula by Megillah. Maybe one can say it's a Chumra by the Sefer Torah. So he doesn't come to a Maskana. The Rambam in the Tshuvas Rambam, right. The Rambam in the Tshuvas says the minig all over Ore Sfarad, all over Spain, the minig was that they used to learn Kriyas HaTorah Balpeh, or from Apostle of Sefer Torah. But the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah writes not so. So the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam in Hilchas Sefer Torah quotes a Tshuvas HaRashba, who points out this contradiction between the Rambam and the Rambam. So the Rashba writes, apparently the Rambam changed his mind, that the tshuva was written earlier, and then tshuva, he's recording what the common practice was, and then he changed his mind. He said that it's not right. Here during the Second World War, the Jewish Welfare Board, they used to supply chaplains to the American Army, was controlled by conservative and reform rabbis. So they put out shadows of tshuvas for the chaplains in the army, b'chol mekom shehem, wherever they happened to be. So that was one of the recurrent shilas. Can they learn Kriyas HaTorah from a Chumash? So they said, of course you can. It's a Tshuvas HaRambam. You can learn Kriyas HaTorah from a Chumash. That's the Tshuvas HaRambam. But in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam backed out and he said, you can't. So they weren't Goyris, the Chazar. They were only Goyris, the first Mahadura Rishayna. Yeah, the Pashtus is that we paskin that Megillah Sesta is part of the Tanakh, and that's why it's Matamis Hayadayim. So Matamis Hayadayim was introduced as a deterrent and you shouldn't touch it. So how do we touch the cloth of the Megillah? You put on gloves? Or you have a talis on? No, we don't do like that. So how are you allowed to touch the cloth? So the Mishnah Brura in Chelik Beis and Hilchus Kriyas HaTorah explains what you have to do. He says, the Beis Yosef quotes the Machlokes HaRishonim regarding this din of Asa Lecha Sefer Torah Orum. Some Rishonim hold that it's only Sefer Torah, even though the din of Metamis Hayadayim goes on all 24 Svarim of the Tanakh, but the Issa also Lecha Sefer Torah Orm is only Loshan Gemar, only also Lecha Sefer Torah. Doesn't apply to Nevi'im Ksuvim. We don't follow that Shita. But there's another Tzad L'Hakel. The Mishnah in the end of the first parak of Masechus Shabbos mentions that on one occasion the Beis Shammai saw that they were in the majority in the Beis Medrash, and they rammed through, against the wishes of Basil, who were in the minority that day, they rammed through 18 Zeres the Rabbon, Yud Ches Dover. Then the Gemara said, the next day the Basil agreed. So no great tragedy occurred. Basil used to disagree with Beis Shammai about this. And then after they introduced the 18 Zeres, so the Basil was masking with all the 18 Zeres. So the Gemara there discusses which are the 18 Zeres. A historical question, which are. So the Gemara has different suggestions. So in the middle of that discussion, the Gemara talks about Osulacha Sefer Torah Orum. The Gemara has a kasha with a teretz that's very unclear how to understand that kasha. So Tosis works very hard to figure out what the kasha was. And the Mordechai, not Gemara, has a very easy pshat. The Mordechai says the Gemara in the kasha is assuming, and they're not backing out in the teretz. So this din, you're not allowed to be Yoicha Sefer Torah Orum, that's not their heretz to the Torah, because Stam Yadai Maskoni is saying, because the hands are probably dirty. He's touching the bottom of his shoes, he's touching dirt in the street, touching all kinds of gook and filth. That's why you have to wash until the Yadai before you eat bread. So you shouldn't have stam yadayim askani in saying. So the Mordechai understood in the Gemara that if you wash until the yadayim in advance, then you're permitted to touch the cloth of the Sefer Torah with your bare hands. Then there's no violation of Oichel Sefer Torah. So we don't follow that Mordechai. Menaget to holding onto the cloth of the Sefer Torah. We're not makel. But the Mishnah Berurah says, menaget to touching the cloth of the Megillah and the Vimaksuvim, there you have a svek svek. Maybe the din is the prohibition only applies to Sefer Torah. That's the Loshon HaGemara. And even if one should assume that it applies even to Nevi Maksuvim, maybe it doesn't apply if the person washed until it's a diamond event. So he says you should wash for Li Brocha. According to Taisus, you don't accomplish anything by washing. According to the Mordechai, you should say a Brocha. Wash until it's a diamond. This is Mata Yualpi Din to touch the cloth. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should wash until it's a diamond, but Li Brocha if you want to touch a cloth of the Megillah. And then it's Mutter because of the Svek Sveka. The Mishnah say that the Eitz Chaim of Sefer Torah is also Mitam Yisayadayim. So you're not allowed to touch the Eitz Chaim. That's what it's for. The Eitz Chaim is for the purpose. So the Magen Avraham says, yeah, he suggests maybe you're not allowed to touch the Eitz Chaim. When you get an Aliyah, when you get Hagman, maybe you should hold it behefsik talis. So the Achrayim says, Mechsiki Yuhara, maybe only if it's not so noticeable you should do that. Otherwise, it's not right. Because we really don't paskin like that. We really paskin. The Eitz Chaim is true, it's Metamis Hayadayim, but that's Mutter. That's what the Eitz Chaim is there for. But by Nevi Maksilvim, that's the suggestion that the Mishnah Berurah quotes. It would be Mutter Mitam Svek Svek. Of all of the Yamim Toivim that were introduced, Bizman Baisheni, all part of the series of Megillas Tainus. Rashi writes, why is it called Megillas Tainus? Because it was written down on a Megillah at the time that the Torah Shebaal Peh was still being transmitted Baal Peh. The Mishnais were only written down later. Megillas Tainus was written down earlier. So from all of the Yamei Tovim and Megillas Tainus, the only one that has a Chiyuv Suda is Purim. In Shulchan Aruch, they only talk about the contrast between Chanukah and Purim. How come on Chanukah there's no Chiyuv Suda and on Purim there is a Chiyuv Suda? But it's a bigger question than Chanukah versus Purim. Something like 30 holidays, 30 Yamei Tovim and Megillas Tainus. So all the others don't have a Chiyuv Suda, only Purim. How come? So the She'iltis is quoted by the Mordechai, quoted by the Rav Yoy, the Mordechai, that the reason why there's a Chiyuv Suda is because there was a new Kabbalah Satorah. The Gemara in Psochim and the Gemara in Beitza has a Machlokes of Lezer and Rabbi Shua. How is one supposed to observe Yontif? Should you have Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Hashem, or should you have Okula Hashem, Okula Hashem? Do you have to have elaborate meals? Let's say the guy wants to learn and daven a whole day on Yom. We're just going to have a tuna fish sandwich for breakfast, and a tuna fish sandwich for lunch, and that's all. You're not going to have elaborate meals. Is that acceptable or not? So that's a machloike satanoim. So we pasken Chetzel Hashem, Chetzel Hashem. You have to have elaborate meals. So the Gemara says, but Hakol Moedim, all the tanoim would agree on Shavuos. But Sarah's to be in Nami Lachem, you have to have an elaborate meal. That's Yom Shinitna Batur. I call the Kabbalah Satura. You certainly have to have an elaborate meal. Shouldn't it be just the reverse? You would have thought Lakovit Kabbalah Satura should sit and learn all day. So the Ramban Chumash writes on the Pasuk, by Yachzul Salakim, by Yochlu, by Yishtu, he quotes the Mechilta, Mekan Shosim Suda, Legemer Shal Tura. Then when you have Kabbalah Satura, you have to make a suda. Vayechzus alakim. The Tanoim had a machlokes. Was that an avera? Vayechzus alakim. Vayochlo vayishto. They were eating. They were chewing popcorn in the middle of the Maamar HaSinai. So that was a violation. That was a lack of derech eretz. Or no, after the Maamar HaSinai, vayechzus alakim. Vayochlo vayishto. They made a suda afterwards. A bekavod digas suda. Not that we're eating popcorn during the movies. During the Maamar HaSinai, they threw a bekavod digas suda afterwards. Ramban quotes, Rashi quotes that it was an avera on the part of the Alatzil ben Esau lo shalach yadoi. They deserve to be punished. Vayachzus alakim vayochel vayishta. They were disrespectful to the Shechina. They were eating popcorn during Maamar HaSinai. And the Ramban quotes the other Tana, the other opinion, that they did the right thing. That lekovit kabbalah zatar, you have to have a suda. So that's what the Shilta says, that on Purim we celebrate the new kabbalah zatar. And the Gemara says in Shabbos that Kimu the Kiblu, it says in the Megillas Esther, Kimu the Kiblu, and Kiblu has the connotation of Kabbalah Satorah, so there was a new Kabbalah Satorah on the occasion of Nes Purim. So that new Kabbalah Satorah is why we have to have an elaborate meal. That's why you have to lasa. Why was there a need for a new Kabbalah Satara? So the Nabi Yirmiyah lived before the Churban, after, during the Churban, after the Churban. So the Nabi Yirmiyah says to the Jewish people that I made a bris, I made a covenant with your forefathers after Yitzias Mitzrayim, and I gave them the Torah, and you violated all the mitzvahs, Ben Adam Lamakam, Ben Adam Lachadero, and I had to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and I'm going to send you all into Golos. I'm going to have to do over the bris. I'm going to have to make a new Krisis bris. And this time, the new Krisis bris is going to be like engraved on your hearts, and you won't be able, even if you violate the mitzvahs, you won't be able to break that bris. This is going to be ingrained in your hearts. And this new Krisis bris will enable you to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. You can't build the Beis HaMikdash. You can't enter Eretz Yisrael if you don't have a Krisis bris with the Ribbono Shel'Olam. So the new Krisis bris will be what will give us the right to enter Eretz Yisrael anew and to build the Beis HaMikdash. So when was that Krisis bris? So the Catholics claim that their Gospels are the Bris HaChadosh. We don't accept their Shtusim HaHavam. So what is the Bris HaChadosh? So in Nehemiah it says that the heads of all of the Shvatim gathered together. And they all signed a document in the Beis HaMikdash, pledging and committing themselves in the name of the Shvatim to observe all of the mitzvahs HaTorah. That's called the Bris HaMono. That's called the Bris HaMono, the Bris with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the Pashto says that was after the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The story of Purim was 2-3 years before the completion of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And this Krisis Bris came of the Kibla was the beginning of this Bris HaChadosha. V'charati itchem Bris HaChadosha was the new Krisis Bris of came of the Kibla. And the completion of that Krisis Bris was the Bris HaMana that they all signed. So this is also being observed on Purim. It's supposed to be of the Kovad de Kesuda. A serene is supposed to learn Torah on Purim. People, Jewish people, especially in Yeshiva, they treat it as if it's a Jewish Halloween. They do silly things, foolish things. It's supposed to be a day like Kabbalah Sator, a very serious day. The Suda is supposed to be a Suda, l'kovad Kabbalah Sator. The Rambam writes that the Suda has to be Bosa v'yayin ad lo yoda. So Rav Elbel Soloveitchik pointed out that a lot of people think, a lot of people get drunk Leil Purim. So Leil Purim, the Gemara says, you're not yotzei the mitzvah of Suda. Suda's Purim sha'asa ba'layla, lo yotzei deichai v'asa. You're not yotzei. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Mordechai that there's a machlokes Rishonim, what does that mean? So some Rishonim say, Pasha Pshat, you're not yotzei at all. The mitzvah of Suda is only by yom, not ba'layla. Other Rishonim say, no. Suda's Purim sha'asa ba'layla, lo yotzei deichai v'asa, that's not sufficient. Just like on every other yontif, you need one Suda Balayla, one Suda Bayom. Shalashudas is only on Shabbos. On Yontif, the Rambam writes that you need Shalashudas on Yontif, but the Shulchan Aruch says not so. And the Be'er Agro quotes and say, Yerushalmi and my Sesheni like that. That on Yontif, you don't have Shalashudas. Most people don't have Shalashudas on Yontif, only on Shabbos. So the one opinion in the Mordechai is that Suda Purim Shaso Balayla, Layotzi Dechavosa is not sufficient. You have to have one Suda Balayla, one Suda Bayom. By the Yekis, they have different minhagim in different parts of Germany. Some places they had Davke Milchiks, Leil Purim, and other places they had Davke Fleishiks. So those that had Davke Milchiks to demonstrate that you just fasted all day, you're hungry, you want to eat, but this is not the Suda Purim. If it would have been Suda Purim, we would have had Fleishiks. And the others, other communities wanted to demonstrate that this is one Suda Balayla, one Suda Bayom, that a Fleshik Suda Balayla, a Fleshik Suda Bayom. Thank you. So we really hold that the Suda Balayla, you're not Yotzi. So that's what they quote from Rav Elbel Soloveitchik. That getting drunk Balayla is no mitzvah, even getting drunk Bayom is only in the context of the Suda, not outside of the Suda. You have to have Bosa V'yayin Ad Lo Yoda. And the Rambam quotes from the Rambam What does it mean, Adol Yada? He should be stone drunk. He should know what he's talking about. So, the Rambam quotes the Rambam. That one should drink more than he usually drinks till he will become so drowsy that he'll have to take a nap. Sure, when you're napping, when you're sleeping, so that's lo yada ben arham le baruch matchan. You don't know what's going on, but it doesn't mean you have to be stone drunk to be walking around like a shikar. Person. Person should make sure that he doesn't get so drunk that he can't bench. He should daven mincha before the suda. Then he should take a nap after the suda v'yeiradim. Yeah. The Magen Avraham has a machlokes achreinim. What if a person benches on Purim and he forgets to say v'al anisim? Mishnah Berurah quotes machreinim supposed to say v'al anisim, not al anisim. No, we thank you for this, that, and the other thing. The other thing, V'ala Nisim, V'ala Purkam. Same thing, Ishmael, as Modem, Anachno, we thank you for A, B, C, D. V'ala Nisim, V'ala Purkam. We thank you for all of these Nisim as well. So the Magen Avraham quotes in Machlok Yisachreinim. What if a person forgot to say V'ala Nisim in Bichus HaMozen on Pur? On Chanukah, for sure, you yoyt say, because the Gemara says, Chanukah, you're not obligated to have a suda, and you're not obligated bichlal to mention ve'al adisim in the birchas hamazon. The Gemara says it's only a reshus on Chanukah, but on Purim there is a chiyuv suda. So what if the person forgot to say ve'al adisim in benching on Purim is a yoytze or not? So the Magen Avraham has a machloikis. So the Magen Avraham thinks that this machloikis akreinim means that they're arguing the nekudas machloikis is, can you be yoytze sudas Purim without pas? If you only need pas, then you have to bench Birchas HaMazon, then you have to say V'al HaNisim. If you hold, you can be Yotze Sudas Purim. You have a piece of flesh with vegetables, with whatever, and wine, basa v'yayim. If you don't have that bread, so you don't have to mention in Bracha Achrein, you just say Bar Nefoshes. You say Al HaGefen. So you're not going to mention Purim Bechalal. So the Magen Avraham thinks that that's the Machlokes Achrein, is the pas li'ikuv on Sudas Purim. Or HaShulchan thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that every Sudas Mitzvah has to have Pas. He brings a raya from the Shulchan Aruch, Nehilcha Shabbos, that the Pashtus is you certainly need Pas for a Sudas Mitzvah. That's a person comes to a Sheva Brochas, a person comes to a wedding, and he wants to participate in the Suda, he wants to be out in the Mitzvah with the Sudas Chos and the Kalor, and he doesn't wash for bread. So the Or HaShulchan thinks that you're not Yotzim. For sure you're not Yotzim. That's what he holds. And he says, it's still a machlokes, whether V'al HaNisim is li'kuva not, in the bench. In the Shmoneh Esrei, the Gemara says, for sure it's not li'kuva. The Gemara says, you only have to, the Gemara quotes a braisa in Bama Madlikin, in the Sugya of Chanukah, the Gemara says, Yomim she'esh b'hem korba musaf, on Rosh Chodesh, on Chol HaMoed, and Yontif, there, if you forgot the Haskoras, Kedusha Sayyim in the Shmoneh Esrei, then you have to daven over. But Yom Shein Bayim, Korban Musaf, Chanukah, and Purim, and a Yom HaTonis, he's supposed to say Aneinu, and you forgot to say the Haskorah, so then the Gemara quotes a Braisa that it's not Yakim, you're not the daven Shmoneh Esrei over. There is a Machloikis Harishainim, which the Beis Yosef quotes in Hilchas Birchas HaMazon. What if a person ate a meal on Rosh Chodesh and he doesn't get to bench the left of Rosh Chodesh? Does he say Yalav Yovoi because he go basa tchilas hasuda? He ate the meal on Rosh Chodesh. Or do you say no? He's benching now on Matzai Rosh Chodesh. So why should he mention Yalav Yovoi Yom Rosh Chodesh and Zet? Today's not Rosh Chodesh. So the same machlok is by Purim. If a person eats the Sudas Purim on Purim and then he doesn't get to bench till Matzai Purim, should he mention the Ala Nisim or not? We don't say Ala Nisim on Shushan Purim. The Minkacha, the Mincha Saluza, had a practice. He followed the Lavush. The Lavush holds that both days are Purim. That's Rav Soloveitchik, obviously. Both days are Purim. Yud Dalet and Hezvav. like Rosh Hashanah is a whole long yontif of 24 hours, but you can't be yotze tkiyah shofar balayla, has to be bayom, or the whole day is Pesach, but you can't be yotze matzah morah bayom, has to be dafka balayla. Just because the kedushas hayayim is a whole day, 24 hours, doesn't mean that you can be yotze the mitzvah matzah all day long and the mitzvah of shofar all day long. So here also, there's no kedushas hayayim, it's only midirabbanan, but the yontif of Purim is both days, yudal and tezvah, for everybody all over the world. And if it's a Shana Muberes, it's really 4 days of Purim, Yudal Tezvav Adarishin, Yudal Tezvav Adarsheni. And that's why the Gemara says, Lesa Shel Zeba Zeba Shel Zeba Zeba. Even if you live in a Mukav Choyma, you're not allowed to do Hesped V'tainus, and you don't say Tachnan on Yudalit. And even if you live in New York, you don't say Hesped V'tainus, and you don't say Tachnan on Tezvav. Why? Because both days of Purim, or all 4 days of Purim. So the Mincha Saluza followed the Levush, that if all 4 days are Purim, so you should say Vala Nisim on all 4 days. So we don't follow that opinion. We hold that all 4 days are the 2 days on the Shana Pshuta, the 2 days are Purim. But again, to Issa Hesped Betainus. But reciting Ala Nisim is not automatic, because today is a Yantav Purim, so you automatically have to recite Ala Nisim. No, we assume that that's a special Takana. The Chachamim were Misakein, that on the day on which you have to observe the mitzvah Sayyim, either Yadalat or Tezvav, on that, depending whether you live in a Mukav Choyma, you live in an Ayoris, so on that day, you have to say the Aladis. But on the other day, you don't say Aladis. We don't follow that practice. So that's a serious shayla. If you ate the meal on Purim, you're going to bench on Matzoi Purim. That's a Machloikas HaRishayim. The Bais Yosef quotes. On Shabbos, many do that every Shabbos. They eat Chalshudis late in the afternoon. Then they don't get to bench till Matzoi Shabbos. So the Vilna Gaon writes in the Be'er Agua there it's a little better. Maybe it's not so mutol, it's also machloikas harishayim, but there's more room to say that you should recite it, say, because he's moisif mechoil ala kodesh. He's extending kedusha Shabbos with Tosefes Shabbos, so it's still is Shabbos, so that's why you can still say it, say. But Matzoi Purim is taka big machloikas. So we pass on aloha that you do say v'ala nisim, but better would be to avoid the whole thing. Mentioned on different occasions. I remember once I was in the summertime, I went to Anset, where Rav Soloveitchik used to go on vacation when his wife was alive. She liked to go away. After she died, he didn't want to go away anymore, so he just stayed in Boston. So the shul in Anset only had a minyan every day for Shacharis. They didn't have for Mincha Maariv, so we had a daven on Shabbos to have a minyan. But for Mincha Maariv, they didn't have a minyan, so we had a daven b'chidus. So I remember once I was sitting with Rabbi Meiselman at his parents' home, and we daven mincha b'yichidus on Rosh Chodesh. And after we mincha, we washed until the night, we sat down to eat, and it was going to be that we're going to eat on Rosh Chodesh, we're going to bench on Matzoi Rosh Chodesh. So Rav Soloveitchik's mother was there, she was benching. She had eaten before she was benching. When she finished benching, she looked at us, and she gave us Musa, Torchocha. In Yiddish, she says, the Bochum Eloin and the Yeshiva all their lives, and you don't know it's a Machlekes or Rishonim. But you say, Ayala V'yavoy, if you eat on Rosh Chodesh and you bench on Matzoi Rosh Chodesh, you don't do what you did, you do what I did. Either you bench before Shki or you wash after Tzeisek Rahom. You don't do like that you eat by Yom and you bench by Laila and you get involved in the Machlekes. You should avoid getting involved in the Machlekes. So, it's a good idea, Purim also. Usually I try to see to it that the Surah's Purim by us is over before the Shkia. So we bench before the Shkia. So the Ois Machloikas. You shouldn't get involved in the Machloikas. The Mechaba quotes a din, a very surprising din that the Magen Avraham comments on. The Mechaba says, when the Balkori reads the Megillah, everybody who listens is Yotze, based on the principle of Shamea Koina. Everybody pays attention is Yotze. Same when Bal Tekeh blows the shofar, everybody pays attention as Yotze with Shamea Ka'ina. So the Mechaber writes, that's good if you have a minion of 10 people. But if you have less than a minion, so then there's a problem with Shamea Ka'ina. So if the listeners don't know, they don't have the ability to read the Megillah on their own, then we permit them to rely on Shamea Ka'ina, less than Asara. But if the listeners have the ability to read the Megillah on their own, then you shouldn't permit them to be Yotze with Shamea Ka'ina. So the Magen Avraham asked, where did it come from? Why is that so? What kind of a din is this? Quotes it from the Kobo, I think. The Mechaber quoting from Arishan. So the Magen Avraham says apparently this Rishon is of the opinion that Mechaba quotes him without a machlokes. Apparently he's of the opinion that Kriyas HaMegillah is similar to Tefillah. And the Yerushalmi says, the Ran on the Rif at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah quotes the Yerushalmi. There are three areas where we don't permit Shemei Ka'ina. One is Kriyas Shema. Kabbalah Samach Shemaim should be Mekabel on your own. It's not right to rely on someone else. Someone else should say Shema Yisrael, and I'll be Yotze Kabbalah Samach Shemaim with Shemei Ka'ina. That's not right. Tefillah. If I have certain needs, I should ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu myself in person. I shouldn't ask someone else to ask for me. And when you eat food, the Gemara said, Yerushalmi says, if you're eating the food yourself, so you should say your own bracha. It's not right. He says the bracha, and I'm going to eat. If I'm eating, I should learn how to say the bracha before and after. And the reason why we permit one person says Hamoitzi, and everybody else says Yotzi with Hamoitzi Lechem and Oretz. So the Mishnah and bracha says you need Davke Haseba, only if all the people are meisiv around the same shulchan, and Tosha says Bizman Hazeh nobody does Haseba. So we have to have Yeshiva Didan Ke Haseba the two. We have to have that everybody should be sitting at the table. So if you demonstrate that there's one whole chabura eating together, so the whole chabura is only obligated to offer one hamoitzi, and the whole chabura is only obligated to offer one birchas hamozim. That's benching the mezuman. In the days of the Gemara, when they would bench mezuman, only one person would say the whole birchas hamozim, the others would just say amen. They wouldn't all say the benching. So it's not based on Shemei HaKoina. Mishnah Berurah points out that's not based on Shemei HaKoina. It's based on the assumption that the whole Chabura offers one Hamoitzi and the whole Chabura offers one Birchas Hamozen. So apparently, then the Gemara says, what if two people ate sandwiches and one of them knows how to bench, the other one does not know how to bench? So the Gemara says, Seifa Mevarach Ubur Yotze Bibachas. Let the Seifa, let the scholar, let the one who knows how to read, let him say the benching, and the boor who doesn't know how to say the benching, he'll be yotze with Shemei HaKoina. I just said you don't allow Shemei HaKoina in benching, only mezuman. If you only have two people, there is no mezuman. So the Bi'ur Agra, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Bi'ur Agra, that whole din of the Yerushalmi, that there are three areas when we don't permit Shemei HaKoina, by Kriya Shema, and by Tefillah, and by eating food, the bracha before and after eating food, it's only a chumim in the rabbana echad the efsher. When the fellow is a boor and he doesn't know how to say the brachas, so then we revert back to the din deraisa that we do permit shemei akayim. So here the mechaber quotes this from the kolbo. If you have less than a minyan, and one person is going to read the megillah, so if the others are not knowledgeable, the others don't know how to read the megillah at all, so you have no choice, so you rely on shemei akayim. But if the others are able to read the Megillah on their own, that's not right to rely on Shemei HaKoina. Because, why not? What is it? So the Magen Avraham says, the pshat seems to be that we treat the Mikra Megillah as if it's a form of tefillah. As if implicitly, we are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that just like at that time, he gave a Yeshua to the Klal Yisrael, he should give us a Yeshua as well, Bizman Hazeh. This is based on the Gemara and Megillah, when the Gemara says on Davdala the Megillah, Chai Varam Likris as a Megillah Balaila Ushanasa Bayom. You have to read the Megillah both at night and in the daytime. So the Gemara quotes two psukim. So one pasuk, two different Amaraim quote two different psukim. So one says, Lemani Zamech, Chavod Valeidom, Shem Alakai Li Oilom Oideka. I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bayom Balaila. And the other Amaraim quotes a different pasuk. Elakai Yaker Yom Valaisana, Balaila Velo Domioli. I pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if he doesn't answer the prayer the first time, I repeat the prayer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us, he explained to us that this is the secret to prayer, that if the prayers are not answered the first time, you should do a ribui tefillah. That's what Ne'ilah is all about. Ne'ilah is not only on Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah is on any tiny tzibur. It says in the Mishnah, it's East always daven Ne'ilah. The only tiny tzibur that we have is Yom Kippur. But Bizman HaTanoim, when you used to have a tainus, so they always daven Ne'ilah. So the Rishalmi explains in the end of Maseches Tainus that the whole basis of the Tfilas and the Ilo on the Tainus Sibur is that we have a tradition from Tanakh, from various sources in Tanakh, that when a person is based Tzara, if he'll repeat the prayer many times, al daven many times over, he stands a better chance of having the prayers answered. Ribui Tfilah helps. So the So the Gemara quotes this pasuk, Elakai Ekor Yama Veloy Sana, Velayla Velo Domi Aleh. I pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bayom. If he doesn't listen to me, he doesn't answer my prayers, I pray again Balayla. So the Gemara seems to be saying, the two Amoraim seem to be saying, that Kriyas HaMegillah, in addition to being a kiyum of Kriyas Kisvi HaKodesh, like Kriyas HaTorah, like Kriyas HaFtorah, in addition to that, it's also a kiyum of Tefillah, and also a kiyum of Hallel. So kiyum of Hallel that we know from the other Gemara, and Daf Yudal and Megillah, the Gemara asks, how come we don't say Hallel on Purim? So the Gemara gives three reasons. So one of the three reasons is Kriyas Zui Halela, that reading the Megillah is a form of Hallel. By reading the story of the Megillah, implicitly we are praising HaKadosh Baruch. So that's what the Gemara says. The man is Amercha Chavod V'lo Yidom Hashem Elokai Lo Elam Eideko. I say Hallel Bayom and I say Hallel Balayla. You have to say twice. Then the Gemara says also that Kriyas HaMegillah is a form of Tefillah. Implicitly, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like He gave us a Yeshua on the occasion of the Nes Purim, so too He should give us a Yeshua now. So that's what the Magen Avraham says, that this din in the Shulchan Aruch is based on that assumption. That by Tefillah, that's one of the three exceptions to the rule. By Tefillah, we don't allow Shemeya Ka'ina unless the listener doesn't know how to say on his own. So if he doesn't know how to read the Megillah on his own, we would be makel. But if you have a minyan, that's a different story. Tefillah v'tzibur, so then even if the listeners do know how to daven, the shliach tzibur ki v'maitzi, even the baki. It's a chiddush that you're supposed to have all of these three kavanas at the time of Mikra Megillah. You should have in mind that you're yotze kriyas kisvi ha-kodesh. You should have in mind that it's a form of halal, implicit halal, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu by telling over the story. And we should also have in mind that it's an implicit form of a tefillah. We're praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, begging Him, and He should give us a Yeshua today as well. The Mishnah Berurah quotes the Meiri has such a suggestion that you should say halal. He's not sure whether we should paskin like that. The Netziv has a whole essay in his commentary on the Shiltas. He thinks that we should not follow that Meiri. The Netziv says that halal b'shas ha-Yeshua is really deraisa. Halal zechel enes, zechel Yeshua, is only the Rabbanon. So the Gemara is explaining why they never made a takona the Rabbanon, because under normal circumstances you're going to read the Megillah. So that's why they never made a takana. So he says, even if you happen to be stuck in a desert island and there's no Megillah, but the Chacham never made a takana. So nisht is nisht. The Gemara just explaining why they never made a takana. It's not that you really have to say Hallel, and then you yotze with the Mikra Megillah. If you don't have a Megillah, then you better say Hallel. He says, no. This is the Gemara is explaining why they never made a takana. But the Mishnah Berurah is not sure how you should pass. There are more quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi.
What about if someone's reading Megillah in a hospital or at home for people who didn't make them without a minion? Does it matter if they know how to read the words, or if only if they know how to lay it, then it's a...
I think we assume the trop is not Miyakev. So if they know how to read on their own, so that's like Bikiyim, so they should really read on their own. It's a Chumrah, it's a big Chumrah. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this Chumrah. If it's too hard, so you have no choice. Look, if it'll take them forever, they'll have to... A lot of times people can read the Megillah, but you'll have to correct them 1,001 times. Every other word, they're going to make a mistake. They're going to mispronounce it. So that's probably like an Enabaki. Okay. But if they can read it well, just they don't know the trop. So Mistama, that's the Chumrah of the Shulchan Aruch, that they should really say on their own. They should read the Megillah on their own. The Ramah quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that you only recite the Bracha Arabis Rivein or the Bracha Shalach Reho B'tzibur. If you lay in B'yochid, you don't say the Bracha, and then the Ramah refers you to the Tur. The Tur has a Machlekes HaRishonim. Women are not mitztarfim to a minyan when you want to say Kaddish Kedusha and Baruch. What about women over here? Here it's not a minyan for the purpose of a Dovah Shebikdusha. Here it's a Sora for Pisumi Nisa. So maybe 5 men and 5 women, and maybe 10 women would be considered Pisumi Nisa. So because of this Safek, so the Ramah says you shouldn't say, because of this Machlekes, he says, if you read the Megillah for women, A lot of the shuls have a second mikra megillah for the women who missed the first time. They had to take care of their babies. So the husbands go home, they babysit, and their wives go to shul. So if you don't have 10 men, you really shouldn't say the bracha or Rav Shrivenu. The Vilna Gaon disagrees with the Ramah. He says that it's a misquotation. The Yerushalmi doesn't exist. Yerushalmi is talking about Birchas HaTorah L'Achreha. Then when a person gets an aliyah b'tzibur, so he says a bracha after the aliyah. But when a person goes to sleep at the end of the day, when he wakes up in the morning, he says a Birchas HaTorah. When he goes to sleep, he doesn't say a bracha shel Achreha. He didn't finish learning. You have the rest of your life to continue learning. You didn't finish learning. Kriyas HaTorah, when you finish the Aliyah, it's a Seh Bracha, Shanas Alna Torah Semes. So the Vilna Gaon thinks that the whole thing is a misquotation. Yerushalmi wasn't talking about Mikra Megillah. Yerushalmi's talking about Kriyas HaTorah. So the later Poskim, even though they were aware of this comment of the Vilna Gaon, Chayyadam was a Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon, the Chayyadam, and the Aruch HaShulchan, and all the later Poskim, they point out that HaRabbis Rivenu is really Tali B'minik HaMokam, the Mishnah says. Mokam Shenogu L'Baruch Yivarchu, Mokam Shenogu Shalo L'Baruch Lo Yivarchu. The Gemara says, Hanimidu the Brocha Shalachreha. HaRabbis Rivenu depends on the Minik HaMokam, the Brocha Shalafanel, the three Brochas that you say before, that you Mechuyiv. Kol HaMitzvus Kulim L'Baruch Aleim Ovel Asiyosim, the Brocha before you Mechuyiv to recite. Only the Brocha after is Tali B'minik HaMokam. So bottom line, since it's Tali B'minik HaMokam, and for so many centuries, the minig was like that, that we didn't say our Rabbis Rivenu if you don't have a minion, if you don't have Asaris. Even though the Vilna Gaon claims that it's all based on an error, misreading in the Talmud Yerushalmi, but bottom line, that was the minig. So they say we should leave the minig like that. Other people are such fans of the Vilna Gaon. You got to do it like the Vilna Gaon. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. And you got to say our Rabbis Rivenu, even if you don't have a minig, even if you don't have a minion. No. Okay, won't be a bracha levatola. In order to be a kosher megillah, the Gemara says, the Shulchan Aruch says that this is mikuvah. The Sefer Torah, parts of the Sefer Torah are written like prose, and parts are written like poetry. Oz Yoshir and Hazinu is written like a shira. So the two types of shira, you have Ariach al Gabi Levenu, Levenu al Gabi Ariach. Oz Yoshir, you have a little bit written, then the next line you have written by the empty space and on the sides, and you keep on alternating empty spaces and writing. And the Megillah says that Aseres Bnei Haman is written like on one column, V.S., V.S., Aspasa, Perosa, Adalia, Risasa, and so on. So then, and the Shulchan Aruch says that that's Ma'akev. If you didn't write the Aseres Bnei Haman like that form of a Shira, not the form of a Shira, like Shira Sazino, Shira Saz Yashir. But this form, that's not kosher. So then the Mishnah Berurah quotes Rashi, commenting on that Gemara Megillah. How big does the empty space have to be? So a lot of Megillahs don't have it. The Sefer didn't do it right. He says, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Rashi and Megillah, Masechus Megillah, that has to be Kiflayim Kishir Haksav. The empty space in the middle has to be twice as big as the Ksav. In many of the Megillahs, it's not the case. They just leave a little empty space in the middle. So that's not right. A lot of times they don't even leave empty space enough to write 9 letters. An empty space of Psucha or Stuma has to have a minimum of 9, enough room to write 9 letters in this size Ksav. You can write gigantic letters, you can write tiny letters. So you have to have empty space to put 9 letters. Otherwise, it's not called an empty space. So a lot of the Megillahs, you don't even have enough room to put in 9 letters in between. So that's not really right. That's not right at all. But it's really supposed to be Kiflayim Kishir Haksav. So those who are going to lay in should check to make sure they have a real kosher Megillah. The Gemara says that Paris Ben Yom and Mikri Parus. The din is that one who is in a city that's a mukav chaima reads the Megillah and Tezvav, and he observes Shalach Manas, Matanas Levyanim, and Sudas Purim and Tezvav. And one who is in a Ori HaPrazim, in the open cities with no walls, they observe Purim, all the mitzvahs Hayom HaPurim, and Yudalin. What if the fellow lives Kavua in Yerushalayim? He lives in the Yiratika, he just goes to Tel Aviv for the day. So the Gemara says, that's okay. Poriz ben Yom, he's only there for the day. Mikri Poriz, and he reads the Megillah on Yud-Dalet. So this is a big discussion in the Mishnah Berurah, the Chazanish, and Eretz Yisrael, they follow the Chazanish, not the Mishnah Berurah. Because the Mishnah Berurah himself says, I ask of you not to rely on me. Mikoma kam lemaisa, ani mevakesh mehakoyre, here on page 304. Very strange. Bir Aloha. He says, I only wrote Rashi Shita, which is also very complicated, about when you're laying on Yudalev, when you're laying on Tezvav, if you're traveling from one city to the other. I request of the readers, and look in all the different Shitas, and then he says, and look in the Yerushalmi says that there's a possibility a person becomes a Mchuyif Talein, a Megillah, both in Yudalev and on Tezvav. If he's there in Tel Aviv on Yudalit, and then he's there in Yerushalayim and Tezvav, so he's mukhiv to observe Purim on both. And the Chazanish writes, if he's in Tel Aviv on Tezvav, and he's in Yerushalayim on Yudalit, he's not mukhiv to observe any Purim. Because he's in the wrong city, he has to observe both days, not to say Hesped Vita, not to have Hesped Vitainus. but he wouldn't be mukhiv to observe anything. There used to be a colorful figure in Eretz Yisrael, so people said about him, they say it's not true, so people said about him, Nechama Leibowitz's brother. So the Yishai Leibowitz, I think his name was Professor Yishai Leibowitz, they said that he didn't like it, the fact, apparently once gave a lecture, so he was joking, he said this in the middle of the lecture, he said the Jews never celebrate the victory over their enemies, so he didn't like Purim. So they used to say about him that he goes to Yerushalayim for Yudalit, he shouldn't be obligated to observe. He goes to Tel Aviv and has bumps. He doesn't observe Purim at all. That's what it says in Yerushalmi. It's possible that you're neschayiv kamikan. It's possible that you're potter kamikan. The Minchas Aluzer has a tshuva about a Ben Chutzlortz who's visiting Eretz Yisrael. Does he observe 2 days Yontif? Pesach Shavuot Sukkos. Does he observe 2 days Yontif or 1 day Yontif? So he thinks the whole topic of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is only a Din Derabbanan. You're not dealing with a Din Deraisa. He thinks it should be the same as Mikra Megillah, just like all the Hipporis Ben Yom and Mikri Poris. If you're there for the day, is Dinok, he has the status of the place where he is. This is in disagreement with the Beis Yosef. Rabbi Yosef Kara lived in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Tzfat in the 1500s. He said this was the common practice that many Jews who lived in the neighboring countries, the Arab countries, would come to visit Eretz Yisrael to Shalosh Regalim. And their practice always was that they did observe Yom Tov Sheni because they came from Chutz Lartz. They were basically Bnei Chutz Lartz. And the Minchas Aluzer wanted very much to visit Eretz Yisrael. He used to correspond with the Sova Kadisha, with Alafandri, who was a Mekubal, a big Mekubal. and he always wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. So he corresponded with the Mekubal, and he said, not yet, you shouldn't come yet, you shouldn't come yet. So finally he sent him a letter, Kivom Moyed, now's the time you should come. So he sent him back a letter, what do you mean Kivom Moyed? I'm busy baking matzahs now, so it's before Pesach, I can't come now, I have to come after Pesach. So he came after Pesach, and when he was there, Alafendri passed away. So he enjoyed so much his visit in Eretz Yisrael, he was there, he came after Pesach, he wanted to stay for Shavuos as well. But then he realized he's going to get involved in the machloikas because he felt, he writes in his tshuvas, he holds that a paras ben yom and mikri paras, he only observed 1 day yontif. The common practice was that all of the tourists from Chutz Lartz all observed 2 days yontif. So he didn't want to get involved in the machloikas, so he left before Shavuos. But he writes in his tshuvas, he really wanted to stay longer.
What would be the star of the Beis Yosef to Mechali between Purim and
I don't know. Not sure. The Mishnah says you can hear the Megillah standing or sitting. The Pashta says that it's mutar l'chatchila to sit. In the Tshuvas Hagoyim, they have such a practice that they used to stand. Those who were listening to the Mikra Megillah used to stand. But in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not mentioned. In the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, it's not mentioned at all. The Rambam writes that the Balkari has to stand out of Kovad Atziba. If he's laning Ba'asor, if he has less than a minion, the Balkari can sit. But if he's laying for a minion of Asara, then he should stand out of Kavod HaTzibur. So the Shaila is, can you sit when the Balkari says the Bracha also? Because we usually have a klal and Simen Ches, Simen Ches and Orach Haim is a simen about saying the bracha before you put on the tzitzis. So you should stand when you say the Birchas HaMitzvah. They say, Magen Avraham encourages you should always stand when you say, when you hear thunder, when you see lightning, you should stand up to say the bracha of Shkoche Gvorosam Aliyolam and so on. You should always stand with very few exceptions to the rule. Birchas HaNenah. If you're eating food, so then it's unhealthy to eat in a standing position. That's what it says in the Gemara. It's healthier to eat in a sitting position. So the Birchas HaNenah should be recited when you're sitting as well. And then there's a Mishnah about a woman who's mafresh challah in a sitting position. So you see that the bracha and afresh challah can also be recited in a sitting position. And Magen Avraham explains why that's an exception to the rule. He says the rule basically is that all brachas, all birchas hamitzvah, and all birchas hanen should be recited in a sitting position. But all birchas hamitzvah and all birchas shevach vaydo should really be recited in a standing position. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Machzah Shekel that when the Balkari says the three brachas before the Mikra Megillah, everybody should stand because of the Birchas HaMitzvah, and then they can sit when the Balkari reads the Megillah. See Pesach Frank as a tshuva, we quote the Pnei Yeshua on Masachas Megillah, on the Mishnah, HaKaris HaMegillah Oymed V'Yoshe, says you can learn the Megillah sitting and standing. So the Pnei Yeshua says this Chumrah that the Magen Avraham had, that the more correct practice should be that you should stand should always stand when you recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. That's a Birchas HaMitzvah over Sfiras HaOmer, a Birchas HaMitzvah over Tkiya Shofar, that the mitzvah itself should be fulfilled in a standing position. So just like the mitzvah should be performed in a standing position, the bracha should also be recited in a standing position. But if you have a mitzvah where you're permitted to sit the whole time, Mikra Megillah says, HaKaris HaMegillah Amid V'Yosha. It says you're allowed to sit L'Hatchila for the Mikra Megillah. Why should the bracha be Machamer than the mitzvah itself? The idea of standing for the Birchas HaMitzvah is if the mitzvah needs Amidah, so the bracha is part of the mitzvah. See, I seem to remember when I was in the Alter Heim, when I was growing up in Pennsylvania, we didn't stand. I don't remember any shul standing for the brachas on Mikra Megillah. But now the Mishnah Berurah took over. Everybody, no one looks in the big Shulchan Aruch anymore. Everybody looks in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah quoted the Machzah Shekel, Krafal. So everybody stands for the three brachas before. Until I came to New York, I don't remember people standing for the brachas before. The Gemara says that women are obligated also to read the Megillah, and the simple reading of the Gemara in Erechin is that everyone is equally obligated, and women can read the Megillah to be mighty men. That's how the Tosfos starts off in the beginning of Erechin. Mikan Mashmaf in the simple reading of the Gemara that women can read the Megillah to be mighty men, but they quote the Halachas Gedolah says not so. The Gemara says that the way Tosfos explains the Gemara, Mikra Megillah is really a mitzvah. Saseh Shahazman Grama. So Nashim should have been Potter. So we declare it's an exception to the rule because Afin Havi Oisanes. So the Halachas Gedolah thinks that whenever the women are Mechuyah because Afin Havi Oisanes, despite the fact that it's a mitzvah says the Shazman Groma, so the obligation of the women is on a lower level. So the woman is considered Eina Mechuyah Bedover to be Moitzi the man. So a woman cannot read the Megillah to be Moitzi the man. What if a woman wants to read the Megillah for herself? So what should be the problem? That should be okay. So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar that a woman shouldn't read the Megillah for herself either. You should always have a man read the Megillah for a woman. Then the Ramah quotes from Rishonim that if you have a group of women who are reading the Megillah, someone is reading the Megillah for the women, whatever, you shouldn't say Al Mikra Megillah, you should say Ishmoyas HaMegillah. Because the women are only Mechuyim in Shmir, they're not Mechuyim in Kriya. Look, bottom line, let's say there's a Shas HaDchak situation, and the only one who can be Moitzi the man is a woman. So the Pashta says that we would follow Tosfos. We paskin a woman can be Moitzi a man, but out of respect for the Halachas Gedolos, we tend to be respectful for other people's opinions, especially if the other person is the Halachas Gedolos. He was in the period of the Goyim. So out of respect for the Shitas Halachas Gedolos, so we don't allow a woman to lane to be moitzi the man. The same thing that Allah's Gedolos claims when a woman is madlik neiris, erev Shabbos, that's a kabbalas tosef, Shabbos bal korcha, whether she wants to or not. So Tosfos doesn't agree in a big way. All the Rishonim disagree. They say it's against all the Gemaras. But the Bahaga apparently, the Allah Hazgadol, apparently has a different way of reading all the Gemaras. So out of respect for the Allah Hazgadol, so we machmer lachatchila that the woman should not do any malachas after she lights Neiris Shabbos. Unless it's really a big Shas HaTchag, then she should have in mind that she's not mekabel Shabbos when she's madlik the Neiris. But if it's not really a major Shas HaTchak, it's not right, because out of respect for the Halachas Gedolos, we don't want to violate his Shita. And he held that it's a Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Bal Korchum. Part of the Bahag we don't follow at all. The Bahag was of the opinion when a woman benches Licht for the whole family, it's a Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos for all the members of the family, even for the husband, even for the children. So that we don't follow at all. In the days of the Rishonim, they respected the Bahag even as far as that was concerned. So they record that the husbands would go to shul to daven mincha on Erev Shabbos. After they would finish davening mincha, they didn't have a zman kavua, they didn't have a clock on the wall, they didn't have any clocks, everything was guessing. So after mincha, they would send the children home to tell the mother she can bench licht, because if the mother would bench licht in advance, you're not allowed to daven tefillas chol this Shabbos. So then the husband wouldn't be the husband and the sons, who are yotze with the adlokas on Erev. It would be a Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos for all the members of the household, for all the members of the family, and all the members wouldn't be allowed to daven minchas. In the days of the Balei HaTosfos, they were really choshish for the Halachas Gedolos opinion all the way. So that somehow fell to the wayside. That we don't observe today. We're only machmer for one part of the Halachas Gedolos, that for the woman herself, it's a Kabbalah Tosef Shabbos Bal Korcho, and she really... Only if it's a big Shas HaTchak, she really shouldn't do malacha after Hadlokas HaNeiris. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes a minig that's a little strange, that we clap hum and we make noise. We make noise, you're going to miss the words of the Bal Koire. Making the noise is based on the Pasuk, Rishayim Rishayim Yirkav. Zecha Tzadik Lebrocha, Rishayim Rishayim Yirkav. The word Yirkav probably... what the name of the Rishonim should rot away, Rekev. Some interpret that it's not, a lot of times you have a resh stuck in, so it's not really, so it really means Shem Rishonim Yikov, the Rishonim should be cursed. Whatever it means, so the minig developed that you clap haman. And even though it's a very questionable minig, because some people are going to be missing part of the Mikra Megillah, so you're going to have to say the words on your own. So that's what the Ramah writes. Ein lebatel shuminig olil galov kilo lechinim hukvu. The Rishonim say like this. So that's a long Magen Avraham there, who talks about other minhagim. But every community has a minig, so we are medaktik to observe the minhagim, even if there's a little bit of a pickbook. But this only provided that we know for sure that the minig was endorsed by it's a minig vasikin. The word is vasikin, not Vatican. Minig vasikin. Remember once one of the boys was reading a Shachan Yeridaya in Rabbi Soloveitchik's class. So he read Minig Vatican. So he said, what? What are you talking about? No Minig Vatican, Minig Vasikin. So that's what the Magen Avraham quotes from the Maseches Sofrim. Minhagim are binding, and you follow Minhagim, even if there's a little bit of a pickbook on it, provided that you know that this Minig had the endorsement and the approval of Tzadikim and Talmidei Chachamim. And for many generations, the minig was like the Magen Avraham quoted from the Zohar, that the women don't read their own, even they don't even read the Megillah for themselves. They have, the Zohar says that the woman should have a man read the Megillah for her. We live in a generation, even Madonna studies Kabbalah. When you go to Tzfat, they tell you, Madonna studies Kabbalah. So in our generation, they should violate the Zohar. The Zohar became more popular today. So the men and the women should probably follow the Zohar. They probably learn the Zohar. No, they probably learn the Zohar. Some communities that had a minik that everybody says along with the Balkari, the Aseres Bnei Haman. So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch makes fun of that. He says that that's a minik shtus. That's a ridiculous minik. So the quote from the Ragachover, that he defended the minik. He said that Shemei Kohenim, when we yotze the whole Kriyas HaMegillah, the Balkori lanes, and we yotze the Kriyas HaMegillah, it's considered as if we lane Mitoch HaKsav, but it's not considered as if it's Benishima Achas, that not. Not everything carries over from the Balkori. So since the Gemara says you're supposed to lane Aseres ben Haman ben Yishima Achas. So that can carry over from the Balkari to the listeners. So that's why the minig developed that everybody says. And then he added on that the minig is that even if the Megillah is written in smaller letters, Aseres ben Haman takes up a whole page and you write it in bigger letters. Why is minig you write it in bigger letters? So the Raga Chava says, so the Vilna Gaon says it's Keneged Adin. You're not supposed to switch the size of the letters. So the Raga Chava said, there's a Tosis in Perek Arbei Psochim. But Tosis comments when the person who got maftir says the Birchas Haftorah, so they have as a separate paragraph, Nemon Atoh Hashem Alkeinu Nemonim Debarecho. So it says Nemon in big letters. So people thought that's the beginning of a new brach, and you have to say Amen at the end of the previous line. So Tosis says wrong. The end of the previous line is not the end of the brach. You shouldn't say Amen till the one who gets maftir says the end of the brach Nemon. So why is it in big letters? So Tosis says, oh, big letters is an indication that everybody should chime in and say along with the Baal Maftir. As the minig is recorded in Masechah Sofrim, that the Tzibu would chime in and say along with the Baal Maftir, they would say along with the Baal Maftir, and then the Baal Maftir would say from that point on, how do you end off? Ki Neman, Oto. So that he should say on his own, but from Neman till that point, till Kikel Melch Neman Ata, so that they should say along. So the Raga Chava said, maybe that's the reason why they write Aseres Ben Haman in big letters, to imply that the meaning is that everybody says along. Just like Taisus says, Neman is in big letters, it's not the same. Neman is in a Siddur, and this is in Tanakh. Tanakh, and that's supposed to put big letters, unless you have a Masorah, it's supposed to be Shema Yisrael, the Ayin is supposed to be a big letter. Here and there, they're big letters, small letters. That's famous from the Raga Chava. If I refer the meaning of the Pashtus, we assume that just like Shemei Kaina carries over to the Tzibu who are paying attention, that it's considered as if everybody read Mitoch HaKsav, so we consider it as if everybody read it, the Neshimach is also, everything carries over. The Kol Ram carries over.
If you can do this according to Rav, you just stick in stuff, you should be able to do it with the regular brachos also. Like if someone says, yeah, I need an Allah 8, someone's saying a Shakal, I need an Allah 8, so I could just stick in my own few words in the middle of his brach and be able to say.
What do you mean?
The Raga Chava was saying that if you have a different part of the thing that you're trying to be able to say, you can just stick in your Aseres Ben Haman and fill it in with the rest of the Shemei Kona with the Baal Koreh.
Well, the whole Megillah before and after with Yotze with the Baal Koreh, and
so
then the Aseres Ben Haman.
So someone's saying an Allah 8, and I need Allah Mechia, I should be able to hear his whole bracha, but when he says Allah 8, I'll stick in my Allah Mechia.
Yeah, probably not. The kavana of a person who recites a bracha, the kavana that he has, Bishas, when he says the Shema Malchus, is kaveh, the nature of the bracha. So he's saying Baruch Atah Hashem Lakein Malach Olam, planning to end off Bari Pri Yoetz, and I need a Bar Nefasha. So is Hashem Lakein Malach Olam, is it different? That's considered a bracha of Bari Pri Yoetz, and I need a different kind of a bracha. It was a practice which we don't follow today, that you only say Al Anisim in Ma'ariv on Leil Purim if you already heard the Megillah. But if you came to shul on time and you davened Ma'ariv first, then you're going to hear the Megillah, then you shouldn't say Al Anisim, because it's not yet Purim. Purim really begins in the morning. First episode, Purim begins in the morning. That's how Rav Soloveitchik always used to say. He used to bring a lot of rise to that. It's a goyish yontif, because it was Haman wanted to wipe out all the Jewish people. So as far as goyim are concerned, so halayla halach achrayim. As far as the Jews is concerned, hayom halach achrayim. So since it started off as a goyish institution, that they wanted this day to wipe out all the Jews, so the day, as far as the Mesoyim is concerned, day begins from the morning. So that's why, let's say, the Paris ben Yoma, whether you consider it a ben Krach or a ben Ir, so this is determined at Alos HaShacha in the morning, not determined at Ben HaShmashis, at the Tchilas Ayam, because the Yonta begins from Alos HaShachar. That's why if you have Sudas Purim Balayla, Leyotze Dechaivosa, the Gemara said, and that's why the Rishayim added on, Irant Yotze Shalach Manus, Matanus Lev Yonim, Balayla only by Yom, everything is only by Yom. So that's why they had a practice that they didn't, we don't have this anymore, that's why they had a practice, they didn't say Ala Nisim in the Shemana Esri at Ma'ariv, unless they already heard the Megillah first, so then they're already observing something from Purim. So then they would say Al Adisim in Ma'ariv if they dab Ma'ariv after. But if they would normally dab Ma'ariv before, they wouldn't say Al Adisim. Yeah, our meaning is we don't say Tachnan on Purim. The Torah quotes from the days of the Gaon, that many people did say Tachnun. Many communities, they did say Tachnun on Purim. And they felt, what better day is there to recite Tachnun than Purim, when our prayers were answered? Adarama. You should say Tachnun on Purim. So you see, it's not really a stira. To say Tachnun and to say Hallel. The Gemara says that Kriyasa Zu Halele, reading the Megillah, is a form of Hallel. So how can they say Hallel and Tachnun on the same day? So you see, strictly speaking, it's not a stira. Our practice is we leave out Tachnun on Purim. But strictly speaking, it's not really a contradiction. That's why there in the yeshiva years ago, there used to be many different minyanim on Yom Ha'atzmaut. So there were some minyanim. Rabbi David Lifshitz and Zmin used to say both Tachnun and Hallel on Yom Ha'atzmaut. So strictly speaking, it's not really a contradiction. That's what you see from the tour over here. I remember once there was a funeral on every day of the year. There's a funeral every day. The people die every day of the year. So I remember once one of the boys in the kol lost his father on Chanukah. So he delivered a hesped on Chanukah. So Ravitzala Panavisha is known for this. He said the din that you're not allowed to deliver a hesped on a yontif is only if a rabbi is going to say hesped, but if the oinen, if the relative who's in the state of Anin is going to say Hesped, so the Oinanim are not permitted to fulfill any mitzvahs, and the prohibition against saying a Hesped is because of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So the Oinan is not allowed to observe the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. He said he's allowed to deliver a Hesped. His opinion was not accepted. Rabbi Tzela Ponovich had a lot of original opinions. As a whole Sefer Zecher Yitzchak, every Simon is very original. His opinion was not accepted because we assume that not only is there a prohibition to deliver a hesped, it is a prohibition to listen to a hesped. So what does it help that the korev is an oinen, but the listeners, the people are listening, are not in a state of anina. So we're not allowed to violate the Simchas Yontif listening to a hesped. In case you're not sure when you want to get married, so there are two opinions, whether there's a violation of Eimar and Simcha, the Simcha on Purim, on Chalamoy, the Gemara says it's a din deraisa. You're not allowed to get married. Not to get married on Shabbos, only midirabbanan, zereshem yichtov. Not to get married on Yontav or Chalamoy, that's a din deraisa, Eimar and Simcha b'Simcha. So on Purim, there are two opinions. I remember we once went to a wedding on Purim. One of the boys got married on Purim. So we bask in his mutter. Very good. Okay. Afreilich on Purim. Whoever's going to be around, yes. I'd like to invite everyone, whoever would like to come. I'm on Zoy Shabbos, but having a chagig at my home. After Kriyas HaMegillah. No, about an hour after. You got to eat first. How's your wife?